Hi, my name is Angela and welcome to the Mood Board. This week we're going to be doing something a little bit different where I'm actually going to be replaying the interview I did with author Kenesha Bikes about her book, Restoration House. I'm really excited just to share this with you guys because one, I feel like what Kenesha's book is about is what so many people are feeling right now. Right now when I talk to potential clients or even my friends, so many people hate something about their home. They're ready to change it. There's a paint color that's been irritating them for years. There's a mattress that honestly is giving them backaches. The office area just isn't doing it anymore after months of working from home. And as interior designers, you know, my job is really to create that beautiful space. But I think it's so much more than just making it look pretty. It's about how do you really get people to connect to the space? And I feel like Kenesha's book does that. I've been referencing it a lot lately, just going through my own personal projects of how do I make sure my home is a space where I can restore my soul, a place where my family wants to connect and gather. And it's not a museum, and it's still comfortable and beautiful at the same time. Many people have been asking me, how can they support my business? And let me tell you, if you're listening to this podcast, you are already on the right path. So just make sure that you subscribe and share it with your friends and family. But a second thing you can do is sign up for my Skillshare class, The Art of Styling Your Room, How to Create a Mood Board. In less than 15 minutes, you will have all the tools you need to begin to design your dream space. I will also provide feedback on Skillshare and share students' work on my Instagram feed. So on that note, let's get started with the show. And we're going to talk about your amazing new book. So I guess one of the things I wanted to jump right into with Restoration House is that, you know, I feel like probably lots of people just want to know, you know, how did you do the book? How did you get this opportunity? I think I just really want to know, what was the experience like for you writing this book?
Insane. Are we recording?
We are recording. This is all recorded and we'll edit it later.
That was slight sarcasm, but and rhetorical. But yeah, it was insane. The process, it was insane for many reasons, and it was I'll explain that or clarify that.
Yeah.
Spiritually it was insane because I have never been so challenged in areas that I've felt I'd overcome in my life.
Yeah.
Ever. So we released April 30th. Mm-hmm. And on the 29th of April, this may sound really weird to some people, but maybe most not. Like the day before release, I remember telling one of my girlfriends, I said, I literally feel a detachment from this whole thing. And to make that even more clear, you know, a lot of people like in this whole process of book writing and the release of books, to giving birth, you know, to something.
Yeah.
And it literally, I don't even know. I don't even honestly have words to fully express the way that I felt on that day and in that moment. But it was, I remember using that word detached. And that was a significant moment in the sense that I felt like I had honored what God asked me to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and being obedient to writing this book and presenting it in a way that I felt fully expressed not only my heart, but more importantly, his. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, okay, not necessarily that my work is done, but that it just felt like a release. Like God's like, okay, you did what I asked you to do. And now I'm, even though this has been mine from the beginning, now I am going to take this and I'm going to do what I want to do with it. So it's like, now you can just calm down, relax, take a deep breath.
Yep.
You know, and just have fun with it. So yeah, it was just, and then of course, like in the natural sense, it was just, there was this physical like relief of I can take a little bit more, you know, time to kind of take it all in.
And when you were working on the book, like how many years were you kind of marinating on it and working on it?
Well, there was no marination time at all. because I feel like I don't want to make it sound like, oh my gosh, this is the first time this has ever happened to anybody. I think there's no such thing as that in the world. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like in the book arena, like in some ways, at least to me, and from what I've talked to you about with other people who have experienced this, this type of journey, like my experience is unique in the sense that like I hear so many people say, oh my gosh, I would love to write a book.
Yep.
Especially now that I've written a book. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, that's my dream. That's not my story. I have always enjoyed writing because it's therapy for me. So writing has been and always will be a part of my life because it's a creative outlet for me. It's therapy, all those good things. But I was never one of those persons who said, my dream is to get my name in a book and like have it out there for the world to see. Mm-hmm. So when I was approached by HarperCollins to write this book, it wasn't a surprise to me in the sense that I really felt like a few years ago, I knew that God had kind of spoken in various ways that this is probably something that I was going to end up having to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I kind of avoided it like the plague, to be honest. I was just like, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Like, I don't need a platform. I am just so everybody's clear on where, who I am and like my personality. I am an introvert. I know it doesn't come across that way publicly for anybody who may follow me and who especially sees me in my stories. But when I do that stuff online, it still feels like a very sacred and safe place for me.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm in front of thousands of people, literally, like if I were in an auditorium or something, but it just feels safe. So I can do that. I can express myself that way. Cause I am really goofy, but when it comes to really exposure, I'm a really private person, which I feel like is even weird for me to say out loud. Cause I really am actually a pretty private person and I'm pretty introverted, especially as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
So I don't, all that to say, like, I don't need any of this. You know, there are people who are wired that way, and I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just the way people are wired. Like, some people thrive in these types of, this type of lifestyle or even more, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not my, never been my thing. So
here's a question I have for you, too. Since you've been blogging for almost 10 years, I mean, how the relationship, I think, with blogging feel now with so much of everything, you know, that we write and do, we know to be successful, you know, has to fall into social media.
Yeah.
And it's almost like with social media, I think even for myself, sometimes it's tough of like trying to find that line between you really want to connect with your readers, mm-hmm, but you mm-hmm. really want to also respect privacy.
Yep.
How does that work with you sometimes?
I think I'll speak specifically. Well, I'll talk to two points. One, social media, as you asked, and then the book and how that transferred into the book.
Yeah.
So for social media, for a long time, I think I presented an idea or a picture of what I thought people wanted online from me, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking, generally speaking, that definitely was the case. And we could go even deeper and talk about like just the racial aspect of that.
Yeah.
But I think like 4 to 5 years ago, I just had this revelation, if you will, that here's the thing. I think I've always wrestled with Restoration House and just even the simple idea of it being a business versus ministry. What does that look like? Is it ministry for me? Is this business? Is this just something fun to do? Is it a hobby on the side? How do I combine all those things to make it make sense for me and then for other people?
Mm-hmm.
So that for a long time was really a hard space for me to be emotionally. Mm-hmm. But I think I transitioned out of that about 4 or 5 years ago and just realized like, this is who I am.
Yep.
The Restoration House is what it is because of me. It's not because I formulated this idea of what something, you know, should look like or should be or whatever. Like the reason that Restoration House exists is because of my life, my personal life.
Right.
So I think that while I'm not perfectly navigating that, I think I found a very comfortable, but very uncomfortable. So again, tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like this space where those two things can exist. And I think there's always going to be this push and pull of making sure that I'm not oversharing That I'm not sharing things that people don't care about or don't want to hear, but I'm also still being very true and authentic to who I am, which will for me always include some type of faith-based, you know, something, because it's so ingrained in who I am literally from the very beginning of my life. And I cannot escape that, nor do I want to. And at this point in my life, nor do I want to, or can I escape that I'm a Black woman.
Right.
That I'm a woman of color in a space that we have not been allowed to take up, mm-hmm. but that we are very rightfully taking place in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I felt like when I saw your book, I mean, I was excited for a lot of reasons, but of course the first thing was, wow, when have I ever seen an interior design book with a very minimalistic, clean lined aesthetic, and then it's written and it's led and designed by a Black woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's insane to think about that, because one, interior design, there's so many books, there's such a huge section. But literally, I feel like if a Black woman is going to get an interior design book, which again is already still a very narrow, small window, it needs to be vibrant, colorful. You know, I think about when I was working with Afro Chic on the Remix book, kind of even the direction that we were going for, I think, when creating that book. There's definitely the sort of soulful aesthetic that needs to be colorful.
Yeah.
And I love how your book is very soulful, very mm-hmm. spiritual, and it's definitely minimalistic. And I'm like, I haven't seen that before with interior design. And I think that was a really cool thing to see.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I know these things now, and I recognize them now that we've released the book. But 2.5 years ago, when I was approached about writing this book, I never thought for a moment about the fact that I was a Black woman doing this. Like, that was never, as a matter of fact, I had a conversation with a girl this morning. A few years ago, I had this revelation once again that I was a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And here's, I'll explain that. Like, so I'm from the South, from Alabama, grew up in a, still today, pretty segregated, you know, small town, Black mm-hmm. community, but you leave that Black community and you're literally like, it's white everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Left my hometown in Alabama, went to an HBCU. So like, you know, again, contrasting worlds, like,
mm-hmm. Which one'd you go to?
Alabama State.
Okay. And I went to Howard. We're all HBCU fam here.
I got accepted into Howard, but I chose Alabama State.
It's all right. And it's all good.
I'm glad that I did, because I met my husband there.
So. Okay. Good balance.
But so, you know, that's obviously, you being from HBCU, you understand, like, that's a whole nother level of Blackness, right?
Yep. Yep.
And so being flooded with, you know, the beauty that we are, and like, you know, how God has crafted us so uniquely, and, you know, receiving, you know, so many wrong narratives over my life about what that was supposed to be or what it looked like, and then mm-hmm. jumping into that. And then my husband was in the military, so we moved from place to place to mm-hmm. place, and having different experiences and holding space in different ways as a Black woman. And then coming to Seattle, where we are now, and seeing that there's such a disparity in even understanding what Black is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bringing all this like full scope, like, that day when I had that revelation, I realized like there was a reason that I felt that way. It's not that I was like wanting to forget I was Black. It's just that I just there in every space I'd ever been in, I never had a reason to be anything else. Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, I was,
no, I definitely do.
It was just different. So I think that even in that, I mean, I tend to over spiritualize and overthink and over process, but I am who I am. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, I think it was a really spiritual moment, because it was almost a second awakening, if you will, of just recognizing the spiritual aspect of that God made me Black. He made mm-hmm. me a Black woman. He's placed me in this community. There are things that I have to give that other people cannot give.
Well, on that note, let's take a break. When it comes to finishing a room, most people forget about the styling. Even when people buy the whole room setting from the showroom. You guys remember that? Showrooms? Ugh, those were the good old days. You'd often come home, set it all up, and then ask yourself, why doesn't it look as good as it did in the store? Well, the secret is because it hasn't been styled. But don't worry, I've got you covered. check out my Skillshare class, The Art of Styling Your Room, How to Create a Mood Board. And in less than 15 minutes, you will have all the tools you need to begin to design your dream space. Sign up for Skillshare.com and I will post your work on my Instagram feed.
It's been really, really crazy, honestly.
Good crazy, though. Good crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's an amazing, like I said, I think it's a really interesting place right now. Like, seeing your book, I'm like, I love seeing that. And it's to me, it's crazy that I'm excited about seeing a book like this in 2019. But I'm like, I feel like there's so much of that with Black experience right now, especially in interior design. So I'm like, timeline might not be where we want it to be, but I really want it to get out there and I want more people to experience it and see it because I think it is a beautiful book.
Thank you.
And I think we need to see a lot more of that. You know, I think interior design just needs so much diversity on so many different levels. And again, your story, no one else can do it. So I'm happy it's out there.
Thank you.
So I think one of the other things that I really liked, just because I've been doing the cyber stalking now of you in the past couple of days, and my husband's like, okay. I'm like, but did you know this about her? He's like, okay, let's move on. He's like, I'm walking away from you. That's so great. He's like, I'm over it. That. He's like, I'm over it. You're freaking me out. It. I'm like, no, I'm just in it. But like, I love the idea of, I think especially because I do interior design work myself, you know, there is definitely this feeling of everybody wants to have a really well-polished, well-designed room, right? Mm-hmm. We want something that feels Instagram worthy. And I really love your perspective on, you know, it doesn't matter. You could fill up an entire room, can look picture perfect. Who cares? You know, get 100 likes, 200 likes,
yeah.
You know, but what does it do to you? You know, what does that really matter?
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a really interesting thing. So kind of give me a little bit more of kind of that perspective.
Yeah. I think that honestly, if I'm being really honest, and I want to be, because again, mm-hmm. there's that vulnerability thing, right?
Yeah.
I struggle with that myself, and I feel like the entire book, I feel like there's probably no author that you would ever speak to, that would ever say they wrote something like you can't write something that you've never experienced.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way. I mean, and you're a writer, right?
Yeah, I love writing. You so much fun.
Right. So that you understand what I'm saying. Like, so even with that whole idea of, you know, we can fill our homes with all the things that we love and we can have the perfect homes, but if the homes of our hearts are not in a good place, then those things mean nothing. And I say that out of my own personal experience over and over and over again. It's not just something that I struggled with like 10 years ago. I had that struggle yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's something that I struggle with, not on a daily, but very often with that, like, but I want it to look this way. And God's like, no, but see, sis, like, we need to work with your heart right now. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Like, right. It's not the perfect coffee table. Like,
no,
what's really like, the thing?
Real? Like,
right. What's
real
really
right
missing? Right.
Yeah. So I think that's honestly, that's where, I mean, very simply, that's where that comes from. It's just from me over my entire life. And then obviously in the book, we talk about some of the deeper roots of that from my own childhood. And where some of that even like perfectionism and wanting to the desire to have all those things really comes from and where our true source of fulfillment, you know, comes from as well.
Mm-hmm. So another question, how do you even begin to achieve minimalistic design when you have four children? I understand how this is possible.
So I would definitely not consider myself minimal. I mean, like I think about my girlfriend, Afro Minimalist, that's her Instagram name, and she's just the best. But she's definitely like very minimal. And she moved from like a huge house into one, you know, small apartment with her daughter, and she just does such a great job of streamlining and all that. I feel like if I were to describe in one word, like the aesthetic in some ways, I guess I would say more like curated and thoughtful. So versus minimal, because I do like, I like things. Like I want, you know, I'm a collector. So I like to curate in that way. And so it is a little less minimalistic, but as far as like having kids, I feel like two things, military life and having kids actually, yeah, my personality have forced me to continually carefully curate what we own and what we have. And military life kind of forces you into, you move every 3 years, you cannot take everything you own with you everywhere you go. So you just learn how to get rid of stuff. And for me and for my life, I think there's two sides to that whole spirit of perfectionism. Like there's a bad side that's like, oh my gosh, like everything has to be perfect. And I'm always like kind of badgering myself in some ways internally. But then there's also this side that because of that, like I am just okay with having things in my life that are, that fill me in some way. I don't know. It's a weird little monster.
It's a battle. It's a push and pull.
It is, but I think just with the, like, I've been forced into this space because of having four kids. Like, I can't do visual clutter and I can't do purposeless, like, non-functional things, which my husband, if he were here and he heard me saying this, he'd be probably, like, rolling his eyes, because to him, everything I have is pretty much non-functional. He thinks that I, like, don't care about function, and he thinks I only care about the way things look, and I'm like, I promise that's not the case, because I'm so much more visual than he is, right?
Right,
like,
right.
He's all function, so he's like, everything, unless it serves, like, basic life needs, we don't need it.
Which makes sense from a military perspective.
Yeah, and he's like, and it doesn't even look good. So I'm like, we can't even have a conversation.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on now. Yeah. Now you've gone too far.
We can't even talk. Bye.
So with your book, what do you feel like is one real takeaway you want readers to get from it? Or what are you hoping people get from it?
I think the overarching there's like one thing I think is, if I had to choose one, that's so hard. Can I do two?
Yeah, let's do two.
Okay. So the one thing is learning how to embrace our stories and embrace how unique our stories are and who we are and how we've been made. Mm-hmm. And I think even overarching in that is recognizing that our stuff will not fill us, that our homes have been curated and crafted by culture in some ways, all of us, no matter what our spiritual beliefs are, faith, whatever, but that there is a creator and he has a purpose for our homes, and that he wants to fill us first before we fill our homes with stuff that we think is gonna make us happy. I think that would be, for me, like the overarching theme is just that our fulfillment doesn't come from things that we own. It comes from, I mean, if I can say very crudely, the one who owns our hearts.
I love that. Okay, one final question for you.
Okay.
What do you feel like is trending right now in interior design? Like, what are you looking at? What do you like?
Oh, what's trending? Oh, man. You know what I love? I love like the colors right now, I think more than anything, which is weird because I don't, right now in my house, I don't have a ton of color. And I've really, for a few years, not been much of a color person. And which is funny because I feel like also, you know, I told you about the day before book launch, how there was this detachment. I also wore color again for the first time in years. Like, and I'm not even joking, like color.
What were those colors? What were you wearing?
Purple and like a light purple and rust striped sweater.
Okay, I like it.
It was really cute. but I wore that and I put it on and I realized that I was like, oh my gosh, like I actually can see myself in color now. I think I was dead for 2 years writing this book, which is crazy. But the colors that are in right now, like all the rust and the blushes and you know, those things that are super right now, like spring friendly,
yeah,
cool, you know, things like that. I don't know, color kind of, that those colors are kind of fun to me right now. They're kind of trending. I can I say what I hate?
Yeah. Yep.
I hate these rooms that like don't make you feel anything. I think we talk a little bit about that in the book, but like I want like when people come into our home is, and we're in a rental right now, PS, like I wrote this book about home and permanency and all that stuff, but we're we're not even in a permanent place yet.
Yep. Same here. Still, we're also in a rental, but I'm hooking up.
We're going to do it. Right.
Yep.
But when people come into our home, like it blesses me so much when people are like, oh my gosh, it feels so homey in here. It feels so cozy. Like, what did you do? And I'm like, honestly, I mean, yes, there's some visual things that you can do to do that. And I give you, here's five ways to, you know, but I think that I love when someone can come into your house or come into our houses and just feel at home. So, just visually though, like it's just the best. It's the best.
I love that.
Well, thanks so much for listening to that interview. For some of you, it may be your second time around, but I feel like for most of us, it might be our first since this just got published in February when I was just kind of building up. So I'm hoping a lot of new listeners are excited to hear it. If you want to get Kenesha's book, definitely go to Amazon.com and it's called Restoration House. Great way, I think, to get inspiration when you're kind of looking at your home and redesigning for the fall. As well, please subscribe to this podcast and share with your friends and family. All right, bye-bye.